Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Business Marketing Club, or BMC. I'm Dave Stevens, I'm a business marketer and I'm chair and co-founder of the BMC. The Business Marketing Club is a not-for-profit community network of business marketing professionals and people interested in business marketing. It's run by business marketers for business marketers, and we provide face-to-face and virtual event meetups, training, podcasts, blogs, newsletters, mentoring, social media groups, community groups, and gatherings for business marketers. Today, we have almost 5,000 participants across the world. If, though, this is the first time you've joined us, you're very welcome. Check us out at businessmarketingclub.org.uk. If you've been with us before, well, welcome back. It's good to have you along again. What a roller coaster of a ride business marketers are having. Economic downturn, AI, the pandemic, all of them have had an effect on us, and no more so than in the world of the marketing agency. Here to talk about that agency perspective is Group CEO of Selby Anderson, Dom Hawes. Dom, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you very much indeed, Dave. It's extraordinarily nice to be here.
It's lovely to have you here again. And so we're going to talk all about the agency world. But before we do, let's zero in on Selby Anderson Group. Tell us a bit about them.
Okay, well, we're not one agency. We are a small group of agencies. We're specialists. We're probably about 90% B2B, I would think. I don't actually count, but I think it's about there. And generally speaking, we're in financial services, technology, industrial technology, and pharmaceutical and biotech. So we're about 200 people spread across the group. We're in the process at the moment of moving some of our smaller units into bigger units to help them be a little bit more resilient, because we think, well, we'll come on to that, I'm sure, but the year ahead is probably going to be not much easier than the year behind us. So we're just doing a little bit of internal house cleaning at the moment to improve our resilience for the year ahead.
Very, very good. And it sounds therefore like a good time to be talking with you. Let's maybe start off with the lens, not of kind of the year just gone or the year ahead, but actually of the post-COVID era. How are marketing agencies, and particularly given our audience, B2B marketing agencies, how are agencies riding that post-COVID era?
Well, I think there are two distinct parts to the post-COVID era that I've seen. There was one year immediately post where we all had a little bit of a bounce and everyone made a little bit of hay immediately post-COVID. And I think, you know, B2B agencies were a lot, they came through COVID a lot better than a lot of B2C agencies. So, you know, we went into it probably 60-40 B2B, B2C, came out of it 90% B2B. So I think COVID was kinder. And then immediately post, there was that one year, you know, kind of the 21 was an okay year. It felt like normal and everyone was sort of starting to think about, do we compare our performance now to the year post COVID, or how do things sit? And then Russia invaded Ukraine and everything changed. So post like January 22, I think is a different era than pre-January 22. It took a little while for that to filter down into the market, I will say. So we first started seeing signs of a slowdown in June 22. And I think we caught that little cold a little bit earlier than some. But most by the end of 22 were going, hey, what happened? Because like immediately post COVID, we all thought this is great. We're going back to our lives as they were before. And it's very clear to us now that that's not the case. And I think, so that's kind of the financial stimuli. And you mentioned it in your introduction. There's kind of the economic downturn has been something. The downturn hasn't been drastic, actually. It's the loss of confidence and the cost of living crisis that have been a real issue, I think, for us, because people don't know what they're supposed to be doing. That so the default position is to do nothing.
The uncertainty.
The uncertainty. Yeah, exactly. And then I think on top of that, we've got a couple of other things like AI. And again, this is thrown like a big grenade into the room to say, hey, how should we be doing things? And the other thing we've seen a lot, which we started to pick up on my own podcast, Unicorny, we picked this up probably about 6, 7, 8 months ago. the first person came into the room and said, oh yeah, we've got to do more with less. And now everyone I meet says more with less. And so I started looking back through it, and actually I found a book that had been written in 2012, which starts off with the biggest battle cry of marketing at the moment is more with less. And that was a response to the financial crisis then.
Yeah.
And now, more obviously, that's people's response to the financial crisis, you know, the downturn now. Mm. So we're all trying to find out, how do we deliver more value for less money? Or certainly for... certainly for less money, but hopefully for not less margin. So we're all trying to work out how we deliver more for less, I think. And so it's been really hard. And some quite good names have gone to the wall. And I suspect we'll lose a few more of our friends along the way, because it's tough in agency land right now.
Tegan, so that's a really interesting way of characterizing it. So perhaps tell us more about that second period, the kind of January 2022 onwards.
Yeah.
And you touched on it a little bit there. I'm really interested in the impact of that on agency value, and also how that's translating to the rate card.
Yeah. So the start of 2022 was really good. Like Q1 and Q1 was a really good month. It was following on from 21, and everyone thought, well, hey, here we are, we really are back. Or certainly we saw a really good, really good quarter then. And even, you know, indeed Q2 wasn't terrible. And it was maybe a little bit of a hiccup. But then suddenly something started to go. So I think confidence went. And then if you remember, it was probably October, November, there was that kind of big tech layoff.
Yeah.
And so anyone who was working with tech clients suddenly had a shock, because, you know, half their clients had been fired let go, probably by text or on X, because that was a horrendous thing about people finding out they'd been let go because they couldn't log into their systems, and that kind of stuff was going on. So I think so the immediate shock was felt in tech, and then it kind of rippled through other sectors. So the immediate reaction in agency, you know, the agency model is a hard one to get right. It's not the highest margin model in the world anyway. And, you know, typically people are employed. Our biggest cost is our people, obviously. Mm-hmm. And it's very quick to let an agency go, but it's not that quick for the agency to correct. And also, when you're in the middle of a talent squeeze, and we were still in the middle of a talent squeeze at this stage, you actually don't want to let your best talent go, because that is literally who you are. Mm-hmm. So agencies were left with this very difficult decision of, do we take action now and make ourselves smaller because we think this is going to sustain, or do we hunker down and try and see it through, because ultimately we're a people business and we have to believe that together we can solve the problem. And of course, it wasn't a short-term problem. You know, it's still going on now as we record this. And I suspect that most of 2024 will be pretty flat. OECD says 0.4% for the UK. So you know, we are living in this world. It's going to exist. Now, how does that translate to rate card? Is a great question. Honestly, I don't know, because I don't get involved in rate card discussions. I refuse to get involved in rate card discussions, because I don't think a business like ours should be reduced to a commodity pricing. So while we may operate rate cards internally, I will seldom, if ever, discuss them externally.
Well, it was worth a try.
I know. But how does that relate to price? Well, you know, it depends on how much value, I guess, we can all create. And so I think, you know, value-based pricing, everyone, you know, agency's been chasing it for a long time. And I think, actually, bizarrely, I think in hardened times like these, like, big retainers have kind of gone. They still exist in certain categories, like public relations, you know, they'll still be retainers, but most big retainers are gone. We've got master service agreements and then, you know, projects rolling on and on. Now, you know, the procurement, our friends in procurement want to see a rate card, but our friends in marketing understand that actually the work that gets done and the rate card that gets agreed aren't always the same thing. Mm-hmm. So we do, of course, we do some stuff on rate card. They've all gone up, obviously, because inflation has been, you know, nearly double digits for the whole year. So rate card is going up. The question we're asking ourselves actually isn't about, so we're trying not to measure our work by our input time. We're trying to measure our work now by how quickly can we produce an outcome for the client. And AI and automation and offshoring, there are these, you know, all that do more with less. have been a driver for that. It's glib to say I don't talk about rate card, but I don't think rate card's relevant because we don't measure our output by the number of hours we put it in. We measure our output by the effects that we have for our clients. And if we can do that in a short amount of time, happy days. And if it takes us too long, well, that's the risk we take in the relationship.
You mentioned AI there, and you mentioned it earlier on in our conversation as well. Tell us a bit more about how AI is transforming the agency world.
Well, I only know my world, and I don't claim to know what's going on in Uber network land, where they're probably a lot more sophisticated and they've been acquiring technology and talent. If I'm talking about B2B and independent, agencies, the kind that I think most of your listeners will be working with.
Yeah.
This has been the year for experimentation, 2023. So we've all been all over just about everything we can get hold of, Claude and BERT and GPT, all the generative models particularly. I think a lot of us have been using AI for a long time as a utility. It'll be built into applications that we're using every day, or we've gone out to find specific packaged applications that use it, like Fireflies for transcription of meetings, or Otter. They're both good tools for doing that. Anyone that uses Salesforce or any of those big packages, the AI is built in, so you're already using it. But I think the big transformation this year has been the appearance of generative AI, both graphical and text-based. For me, text-based has been the most exciting area, not necessarily to replace humans, but to look at how we can use it as a research tool. So this year we've been experimenting with obviously the large open source models. We've just today literally signed off on our first kind of walled garden version of a GPT model. So we can now start interrogating our own legacy data with exactly the same kind of prompts as we've been experimenting with this year. So I think next year is the big year for transformation.
Mm.
And I don't think there's an agency in our group or anywhere probably that isn't trying to work out how this needs to be built into the workflow, because what's clear is that with the more, everyone needing to do more for less and the uncertainty, we need to increase agility. That means we need to produce the work that we do get slightly higher margin. Our clients are looking to strip cost out. So I know at least three or four big enterprise organizations that are building internal agencies this year. Mm. I don't think that's the answer, because I think if you can build an internal agency, you can find a lower cost way of doing the same work. So what we're trying to do is get ahead of that a little bit and look at a combination of can AI automation and a little bit of offshoring mean we can take that. It's that kind of implementation bit right at the end, the lower value add bit. How do we strip cost out of that for our clients?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the bit that's going to get transformed first. But in the meantime, anyone who's in the creative process is trying to find out how they can help AI stimulate the gray matter.
Mm-hmm. No, very much so. I'm client side, but I'm finding the writing side of things, it seems to be ahead of the design side of things from an AI perspective. I still don't feel as if I've come across a tool that has cracked good marketing design on the AI side.
I would agree. Yeah. I think there's some really good assistants like Adobe Firefly, inside Photoshop for those people that actually do get down to that level of I mean, I do only for my podcast, because I have to self-publish everything because we have no budget. But
I know that feeling, Doc.
I know it's great, isn't it? But Adobe Firefly is extraordinary. Like just little things like automatically cutting out a background, or if somebody provides a head and shoulder shot, you need to make them bigger, it'll fill in the bits of their clothes that they didn't provide. That kind of stuff's really handy. But that's just little time-savvy stuff that what it's doing actually is it's, I don't need to go to an absolute out and out Photoshop expert. The AI can do that for me now. So it's putting power into the hands of amateurs like me, which is always a dangerous thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And me as well. Yeah. By all means, email me with your criticism of my work. That's AI. Let's go to kind of market demand now. How do you see market demand for business marketing agency work changing?
Well, I'm hoping that next year, and I'm hoping that So with all the things we've just talked about, AI, in-housing, offshoring, automation, I'm hoping that, and rate card, by the way, which is perfectly suited to that, you know, volume, low value work.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that that stuff probably goes away from agency a little bit. And I'm hoping that with the environment we're all facing, marketers are given a mandate by their executive committees to think more about market development and less about marketing communication. So that market research and planning and strategy and all of those bits, it's what Geoffrey Moore on this week's episode of our podcast talked about. He said marketing is a territory capture game.
And
that's the bit that we need to get back to. It's like, now the response to where we are in the market right now is to say, how do we make strategic gains in our market despite what's going on in the outside world? And it definitely isn't using AI to create more content to stick out on LinkedIn in the hope that someone will see it. So I'm hoping that demand for agencies like ours will be to retrench a little bit and say, okay, we either need to defend some territory or we need to attack some territory. Help us work out which one, how to do it, and how to go about it. And then they will have internal resource to execute on the kind of work that we're advising them to do. I'd like to see it go that way.
That's, fingers crossed. I think that would be better for our profession as well overall, actually. Bit more strategic and a bit more long-term in its focus. What would you say marketing agencies need to focus on over the next year?
Well, certainly resilience and making sure as much cost is stripped out as possible. I think the traditional KPI structure for an agency is pretty well published. MKS published it every year at their annual Jamboree, which was at BAFTA this year. And their gold standard is 55% of your net revenue is your payroll, basically. That's their gold standard. I think increasingly when you're in volatile times like these, and I think we will be in volatile times in the next 12 to 18 months, the questions agencies should ask themselves is, how do you take that down to 45 or 50? Like, you need more flexible resourcing. You know, it's not a nice place to be for many agencies, because like that camaraderie and the team and all that kind of stuff is part of the shtick. But actually in times like these, you've got to be very careful where your money goes. So I think firstly, is the model right? And are we resilient enough? Secondly, I think agencies need to really focus on the commercial model they have for engagement with their clients, which brings us back to where I started. Don't go with rate card. Rate card is a road to ruin, especially if you're being asked to pitch competitively, because your margin is already depressed. The cost of pitching means you're probably not breaking even until into the second year, and you can't be buying that kind of business in this kind of market. Like, if the tide is rising, you can afford to take those risks. But I think when the tide is out, then things have to be a bit leaner. And I think technology, focus on technology. You know, I was reading back the original business plan for Selby Anderson, actually, which we wrote in 2017, 2 years before we actually started. And in one of those, in my pest analysis, one of the risks that I looked at was technology. I mentioned AI bizarrely, but for the wrong reasons. But what I said then is that there is a risk that smaller agencies will be left behind because they won't be able to make the investments in technology that the big groups will. So what you see now is the networks are all making strategic acquisitions in AI, data, and technology to equip them for the next generation. And groups like ours can't do that. So we have to be really smart about looking out there. What is there off the shelf? What platforms can we use to basically allow us to compete in the same playing field without having to make those kind of investments?
Good advice. Dom, you've mentioned your podcast, and I'm a big fan, but I think you should give yourself a bit of a plug. So tell us a bit more about it and how people can find it.
Well, you're very kind. Thank you very much. Yeah, the podcast is called Unicorny. It is a podcast about the business of marketing rather than the practice of marketing. We like to tackle big topics, strategic topics. But yeah, at the moment it's weekly. We're going to relax that to fortnightly in the new year because I don't have your stamina. My God, I don't know how you do it. But no, we have a lot of fun in the studio. It's about a 40-minute show. It'll go out fortnightly. It's on the business of marketing. What more can I say? It's fun.
Do look out for it. It's well worth a listen. And I think there's space in this world for a good few good business marketing podcasts, and that's definitely one of them. Dom, thanks for talking to us today. Dom Hawes from Selby Anderson.
Thank you very much. And goodbye.
And that's all for this episode of the Business Marketing Club podcast. Thanks to my guest, Dom Hawes. Thanks to our technical person, Alicia Gratian. And thanks to you for listening. Do rate or review us if you can. And email me at davestevensnow@gmail.com if you'd like to be a speaker or offer feedback. There's more where this came from. Just go to businessmarketingclub.org.uk.